You're listening to episode 256 of Lifestyle Locker Radio with Dr. Eric and Sabrina Zielinski. Hi, I'm Dr. Josh Hant, and welcome to Lifestyle Locker Radio, where we help you create an awesome life and lifestyle. From nutrition to fitness, mindfulness to peak performance, and relationships to money mindset, we bring you on an amazing journey to help you unleash your human potential. Hey everyone, welcome back to Lifestyle Locker Radio. We have a couple amazing guests that have been on the show, not once, but twice. So this is going to be a third time. We're going to have a lot of fun and learn boatloads. This is Dr. Z and Mama Z. They've been on episodes, what did we say, 101 and 127. And you know, we're well past that now. So I am pumped to have you both back. Always great pre-chatting with you. I feel like we could talk all day. So the show's going to be yours. So why are we back today?
Well, we are so excited about our new book, The Essential Oils Apothecary. So excited to talk about all of that today.
Well, and we love Dr. Josh.
And we do.
That's why we're really back on. Who cares about our book?
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah. You're just bragging on you because, again, we were just talking. I take credit for 10% of all your ultra running success because Perfect. You're using essential oils to boost your energy and the clear your mind and get into that motivation. But there's so much to chat about because, you know, as people go through, you know, this unbelievable experience that we've gone through the last year and a half, and there's so many little symptoms that are popping up, so many chronic conditions that are nagging folks, that it's this, you know, Josh, as you know this, people weren't talking about comorbidities or pre-existing conditions other than under the scope of Obamacare and getting insurance premiums paid. Now everyone's talking about comorbidities as a major risk factor for the pandemic and for the problems that people have. Well, that's right up our alley. And we've been preaching about chronic conditions for years and no one thought twice. No one cared about toxins. No one cared about over-sanitization. No one cared about natural ways of sanitizing your hand instead of using the napalm junk that's out in the stores. Yeah. And our message became super uber relevant overnight. And it's wonderful to be able to share this to we're preaching to the choir because your audience is so well educated because all the great hosts are great experts that you put on the show here. And so we're just excited and hopefully share a couple tidbits that will encourage people right now.
Yeah. So everybody, the book is The Essential Oils Apothecary, Advanced Strategies and Protocols for Chronic Disease and Conditions. I think we're going to be able to hit a lot of really neat things as we go through, you know, this past year, like we said, has been chaotic to say the least, you know, people losing their jobs, people losing their health, people even losing their lives. And I think a lot of this, you know, coming from, you know, we're all in the world of natural health. I should say real health.
Yes.
Right. We're all in that real health world. There are so many proactive things that we could, should, and always be doing, but so many people, we just wait for this next crisis. And I guess that's the human condition, but I believe shows like mine and having people on like yourselves and all of the knowledge that both of you bring to the table is impressive. And that's why I was, you know, when I got the call to say, can we bring them on the show? I said, yes, you can bring them on yesterday. You know, like that was my answer. And I really truly believe that this book is going to be something that, you know, we start to look at chronic disease and realize, holy cow, this is plaguing the United States massively.
This and especially, you know, with the pandemic and all the different things going on, we're really putting a metabolic burden on our bodies by even going to the grocery store or going to the gym, if your state allows it, because they are using floor surfactants. Or one time I wrangled the guy at Home Depot for the dirty cart because I would rather have the dirty cart. And he grabbed it and he's like, and I said, no, I want this one. He goes, but I haven't sanitized it yet. And I said, yeah, I know. That's why I want it. And he goes, well, I was just going to pour hand sanitizer all over it. And of course, we know that those have registered pesticides and other things in them. So, you know, one of the things that we need to do to make sure that we're not contributing to that is really absorbing all of those chemicals, heavy chemicals into our bodies by holding on to those carts or using those in our households and really taking a more natural approach to it. And even, you know, like Eric says, you know, all the time, you know, even that hand sanitizer, if you can make your own hand sanitizer, you're going to have that low hanging fruit that you can always have in your car and have that ready, which will not just make you happier, but you're also going to help sanitize your hands and not have heavy chemicals on them.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking when you said going like Home Depot and like kind of wrangling that dirty cart, you know, going to Costco through this whole thing and, you know, trying to wrangle people for like toilet paper, but all kidding aside, you know, I'm looking at their carts as I go through and I'm wishing I had gloves.
Yes.
You know, like you could see like the plastic melting on the handles going, wait, if this can melt plastic, what is it going to do to me?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, so like I'm the same person. It's like I'll walk around the parking lot to find the one that someone just dropped off that already, you know, had been through, to rather than grab one of these things that's got the melting whatever's on them. It's crazy.
I usually like to use like one of the little microfiber towels and just put that as a barrier. That way I always have one in the car and that it gives that barrier. But if you're going to make your own healthy hand sanitizer, we use the 10-10-10 method. So one ounce.
So you start with this. If you're watching, this is a glass spray bottle.
1 ounce. Yeah. You're going to use 10 drops of essential oils, 10 drops of a grain alcohol, 10 drops of aloe, fill the rest up with water, shake it and go. Our favorite is an immunity blend. You can either make your own or you can use your favorite brand. If you make your own, we kind of use a little, you know, a bottle, a little essential oil bottle, and we fill it up with equal parts of cinnamon, clove, eucalyptus, lemon, orange, and rosemary. That is a great blend. And then you just add that in here, and then you can use that 10 drops of your blend to make that awesome immune boosting blend.
Yeah.
Well, there's something, you know, what's interesting, Josh, is that we had a little bit of a tiff, not a tiff, could have been a tiff with our publisher when we wrote the book, because we wrote the book in quarantine, right? We're talking forced quarantine. The world was just shut down last year. And when I wrote the chapter on Alzheimer's, as I was researching that, it didn't surprise me, but I was very sure to quote an Oxford University study that clearly proved that hyper-sanitized communities and hyper-sanitized environments and countries have the highest incidence of Alzheimer's. And researchers have directly shown the correlation between too much sanitation and lack of bacteria in your brain, and that will lead people to having a higher incidence of dementia and Alzheimer's. So I put this in the book, and And I had this little, you know, call out. You guys know what a book call out is, that gray section. It just pops out. And we had a call out about hand sanitizer. And my publisher's like, hey, don't you think we should like not talk about this? Because everyone, World Health Organization, CDC, Dr. Fauci, everyone and their mother is talking about hand sanitizer. I'm like, no, this is exactly why we have to put this in the book, because we have to have the conversation about, are we sanitizing too much? So the message is, first, good old soap and water is the solution for most people's concerns. Right. Now, what we have here, our homemade hand sanitizer, is for, you know, on the go if we need it. Like, for example, we have a family of seven. We take road trips down to Florida all the time. Hey, if I have to change a dirty diaper on the road, this is nice. Other than that, I never use this.
Well,
unless, right, school. Right. Because that's the other thing. Because now
school and one of the gyms that I go to,
they require it.
You know, they were going to require it. And I'm like, I can't. So I went back and forth with the owner and I'm like, listen, I can't use these things. I have an allergic reaction. I went to one of the grocery stores around here, Kroger, and I had put my hands on the carts and I actually had like welts from the chemicals because I'm just not used to that. I don't use things like that. And that's when I really was like, oh my goodness. And the guy showed me what he used on it and it was floor surfactant. And so it was, you know, here they're using it that they only use places that people walk their feet on. And now we're touching our little hands on there. And it's so, such a different thing. So I would bring that in. Like there's certain stores that we have where the hand sanitizer is right there. You're required to put it on before you go in. And I say, I am allergic. This is what I use. And I remember the guy looking at me like, but you have to use it. And I go, no, I don't. I'm allergic to it. He goes, well, I'm going to have to bring that up at a department meeting. I've never heard of that.
It's like, yeah. Oh, man.
And so I'm
here's
like,
my hands. They're burned off. Look.
Yeah. Like, you don't know. Touch them. Don't touch me. And so, you know, when you talk to people about it, you know, it's like, sometimes you get the deer in the headlights look, but with school, they were like, absolutely go ahead and make your own, can't make your own. And then they knew they weren't allowed to go near the other things. And then all of a sudden teachers were like, well, can you make me some of that? I want that one. I don't want the stuff from the classroom. So I made ones for the lady that runs the school, for the teachers. And then I made the kids all their own hand soap because I didn't want them to use the stuff from the store. They're not used to that. And then the teachers asked me to start making that. So I've got like, I got Mama Z approved hand soap that I've made for all the kids' classes. We got diffusers in classes, and it's very cool to have people on board, but sometimes we have to be that, you know, catalyst to get that stuff going. And whether that is buying, you know, your kids' classroom a diffuser and having them, you know, I regularly will make blends for the classroom, and then they'll send them home and say, thank you, which means I need to make another blend, you know, and I want them to keep being stocked with all of those things. So we can be those people. We can definitely do that. And because, you know, now when I go to the gym, this has been a year since all of this, you can't even look straight in the mirror. The mirror is washed away. Like it is grimy. And And like, I look at the rower that I use, and it's even starting to show rust and all this stuff. And it has had nothing going on for the last 4 years. And now from this last year, even the machinery is breaking down.
Wow. That's so crazy.
You know, if we're doing that, you know, that we're going to be touching all of that. Make sure you have your own gloves. Wear your, you know, super cool gloves. There's gloves that that take 2 seconds to just pop on, or you can have ones that, you know, go around the wrist and all of that stuff. And again, on my rower, I use a microfiber towel and I wrap it, and I never let my hands touch any of that stuff. I just can't. And so we can do that too, because, you know, our organs are taking everything in that our little hands and feet and all of that stuff is touching. And if we have those barriers, then we're going to be able to separate ourselves from things like that.
I think that the hypersanitization, it's crazy, Eric, that you said that, you know, neurodegenerative disease, that's like, we got to put like 2 + 2 together. That's serious. That's not like, you don't come back from that type of stuff too easily when we have years and years of breaking down. I think that's, everybody's eyes need to be opened up. And just to the point with the hand sanitizer, my wife must have been like honing your energy this whole past year, because she's been making stuff. We made a little mini video on it for our practice, so people can start to, you know, do their own stuff. And I, you know, with essential oils, of course. And it's great, you know. And I am that fearful person, that like yourself, grabbing carts and doing things. But it's amazing what fear can do to help people make decisions. But I think if they're given an opportunity for something positive, proactive, hey, this is a healthier solution. If you're still fearful and you need to use this and it's going to make you feel better, this is a safer, smarter way that won't cause neurodegenerative disease like Alzheimer's.
Yeah, we can't discount. I mean, Doc, we can't discount the far-reaching effects of everything that we're doing. And I guess to kind of summarize, we're not doing what we're doing because we're afraid of a virus or bacteria. 100%. We're doing what we're doing because we're more concerned about the toxic chemicals that are inundated everywhere. And the reality is, and people might say, well, what's the difference between essential oils and XYZ product? Well, here's the thing. All essential oils are antimicrobial at some level. And see, we cover that in the new book because we know that chronic inflammation caused by toxins in the air, toxins that touch our skin because of body care and cleaning products, even toxic thoughts and foods, chronic inflammation is the number one leading factor for chronic disease. And that includes everything from hypertension, heart disease, to cancer, to Alzheimer's. And so when we're looking at that, like how do we mitigate that risk? And chemicals trigger that inflammation. Now, thankfully, in some areas, people have nothing else to them. And so they're at a point where they look to natural solutions as like the solution for everything. And that's great. Herbalists and people are using essential oils for years and years. They hone in on this. But I want to, I guess, call the elephant in the room is there is no concern to hypersanitize when you're using essential oils. This is the wisdom. This is the wisdom of nature. This is the wisdom of God. Essential oils have what's known, and this is clinically proven in the research. Again, this is a term that researchers and scientists use in the literature. It's called cell selectivity. Essential oils like innately attack the negative, the harmful bacteria, the viruses, and the fungi, leaving the healthy bacteria alone. So unlike antibiotics, unlike hand sanitizer, unlike chemicals that just kill everything. So when it comes to it, we need to be conscious of the skin microbiome, the brain microbiome, the gut microbiome, and it's all connected. And so you don't have to worry about using essential oils, because as long as you use them the safe way, and of course, all these recipes are in our book, as long as you use them the safe way, there are virtually zero side effects, unless the rare occasion of someone being allergic to them, where you're good to go. And I can't say that, Doc. I can't say that with confidence with pharmaceuticals and with the chemicals that we see in our sanitization and other things. So anyway, just want to say that, because people say, well, what's the difference? And if I use, another question we get oftentimes, well, if I use essential oils, won't that do the same thing? Won't that kill the probiotics in my gut? No, not at all. Like, research has shown the opposite, and it helps your gut microbiome flourish. So we encourage people to ingest them properly, use them topically. And like we've mentioned many a times, it's all in this holistic lifestyle. So as people listen to your other interviews and your other experts and yourself, that's what this is about. This is what we call our natural living lifestyle, that when you're using essential oils, eating right, exercising, mind, body, you reach this beautiful Zen moment where everything works, everything clicks. And we just, you know, want to put out there, you can't just use essential oils and eat fast food and live the processed lifestyle that most people do and expect to get good results. And yes. So that's what we're proposing. And we've seen unbelievable. Like, people will call it miraculous, medical miracles, people getting off of their Xanax, off of their benzodiazepines, their mental health disorders being solved, skin cancers, just like people, like doctors, right. Like, what's happening to you, right? Brain fog and all the things, allergies, that's so easy. Pain, fibromyalgia, that's easy stuff. That's easy stuff. Well, people like, what do you mean easy? I've been dealing with this my whole life. Well, no. When you take this approach, your body regenerates. You know, it's innate philosophy. Our body will heal itself. This is vitalism. And so we are so grateful to at least share our little piece of the pie, but also I can't sell this enough. The information that you share on the show is so vital, because people need to take all the pieces, and that's where healing happens.
Yeah, no, that's, I'm glad you brought up the word vitalism, and I had this conversation a little earlier today. You know, we're constantly thinking, not us, right, that are conversing now, but we're taught that we're a machine. Like, things can come in, things can go out. You know. Replace this part. We're not a car, right? This vitalistic philosophy is that we're bigger, or we're more than the sum of our parts, and the body's intelligence can heal just about anything. And I want to just circle on that, because I think that's really an important piece of this puzzle. Like you said, oh, you can't eat McDonald's, and then like, I want to buy the best essential oils and just take them and expect to be good. It doesn't work that way. It never has. It never will. But when you start to adapt and adopt simple natural living principles every day, you don't have to do everything all at once, because most people are just going to quit anyway. But like the athletes here and on the show, all three of us, repetition and time always win, always. And if you're doing that in good, we have that positive result. But if we have the reps and time in the bad way, you just start to create that. It's like, what do we call it? A continuum. You're either going towards health, wellness, you know, a full life, or you're going towards sickness, disease, and death. Which do you choose? Do you want to hang in the middle, or you want to pick the right side?
Absolutely. Right? Well, and a lot of times people are like, well, what areas should I even focus on? You know, I know there's the food aspect, and we talk about five areas that are really places to detox. We need to detox our pantry, our laundry room, our bathroom. We need to detox in the garden areas and also in our kitchen. So all of those areas we need to focus on. And, you know, like you said, if you try to tackle all those things at once, it's not doable. But as things start to go out in each of these areas, replenishing them or replacing them with stuff that you either make or have a good source for when I don't have time to DIY, this is a great natural option. And just tackling those things, because the nice thing is that once you refill those things, it's, you know, you're not refilling your baking soda every single day in the pantry, you know, but as things go out, replacing those makes it a doable thing. And it has the transitional thing that you're talking about so that it isn't overwhelming and that you are kind of picking that lowest hanging fruit each day. And then those things last for quite a while.
Yeah. And I want to make a point to this. Everybody listening, and you guys both have probably heard of Jack Canfield. And he talks in his book, The Success Principles. He mentions tackling four things a year to help your success growth. And in that saying, with what you're sharing, like these five different parts, right? If you start to just become an expert in one of those and do really well with one, it's going to make those other pieces start to fall in play a lot easier, because then you're going to hit the second, be like, oh, that was a lot easier than I thought. Then you're going to third. And then it's just going to, it'll domino effect. But you need to, you know, I would say focus on the one thing that's going to be the most impactful right away. And then the rest will start to follow. And just don't try to do too much at one time, but be consistent, right?
Yeah, the key is low hanging fruit. And Doc, we're tackling something that, interestingly, it's kind of sad though, hasn't been tackled before. Like everyone will be hard pressed to find a book on quote unquote chronic disease. You'll find tons of books on cancer, diabetes, heart disease, obesity, like individual, but it's very rare to find a book for the non-medical professional that is designed for the lay person to tackle chronic disease as a whole. And there's virtually zero books on using essential oils for that. And I wondered, like, why? Like, well, because it is overwhelming. Like, we're covering the top causes of death. And not that we're saying there's a solution with essential oils, but we are offering an approach to manage it. And so people are like, well, what do I do? I have all these different things wrong with me, or I'm younger and I'm concerned about, because I have a hereditary genetic component to maybe heart disease, cancer, diabetes, right? And everyone can list it.
Yeah.
Well, the key is low hanging fruit, like Sabrina mentioned, but what does that look like for you? Like, what if you are maybe, for example, your blood glucose is a little high, or your blood pressure is a little high, or you got that aches and pain, or those aches and pains in your back or your joints. What I've found is focusing on symptom-based management to give you those quick wins is really the key. That's why in our book, we also cover erectile dysfunction and libido. Most people don't talk enough about that. Like, if you're not healthy, your sex drive is one of the first things to just be absolutely annihilated. But as you become healthier, next thing you know, you crave and you want to desire and you have wonderful, robust sexual health. So there's things like, what is it that's really nagging you? What is it like? I mean, maybe it is sex. Maybe it's something like, you know what? I've not really had that sex drive in years. Or maybe it's like, wow, my knee just, I can't get over that pain. It's preventing me. Or maybe it's that stress or anxiety that preventing you from truly enjoying your time. We wouldn't be in the situation that we're in. And this is a fact. We wouldn't be in the situation that we're in. The world would not have been crumbled and crippled by fear if the world collectively, if our culture was healthier. But because one in two, literally 50% of all adults in America are clinically obese, yeah, of course you're going to worry about COVID because you're at the most high risk of dying and getting infected. So the problem was, because people collectively were unhealthy to begin with, this happened and we're automatically afraid. So what do you do? You start to tackle with, I would say, your biggest pain point. What's the thing that's really, really nagging at you? And don't go for the moon. Don't shoot for cancer right now. Shoot for the thing that we know we could fix. Like, I could fix pain. I can help you fix your chronic fatigue. I can help you fix your libido. I can help you fix your depression, your anxiety. Like, this might be a big deal, and it was for me, but it's reversible. And once you start hitting these little things, little, but in a scheme, it's the biggest thing in the world for you. Right. You know, no one thinks about, you know, pain until they stub their toe and that's all they can think about for 5 seconds. Like, wow, that really hurt, right? Yeah. That's what symptoms are. So we're trying to help people first manage these chronic symptoms to get these little quick wins. And next thing you know, they have the faith and the confidence, and now they're looking at things as a whole. That's how we could really tackle heart disease. That's how you could balance your blood sugar. This is how now you have the motivation to listen to Dr. Josh and, you know, get off your rump and start exercising more to start losing weight and feeling better. And so at the end of the day, what is your biggest pain point? And if you're taking notes or if you're driving in your car or whatever, just mentally think about that. Like, if you could choose one, if you could fix one thing, this one nagging symptom, what would that be? And again, symptom, not, I'm not talking heart disease. I'm not talking about cancer right now. I'm talking symptom. What would that be? Let us help you manage that. Go online, do a Google search, look at other people, listen to some of the interviews that Dr. Josh talks about or has featured in his podcast. Go to our book and be like, okay, this is the symptom. And even if it's addiction, like we cover addiction, because how can you truly live a chronic disease-free lifestyle if you are addicted to nicotine, alcohol, sugar, or process or things, right? Like, it's impossible. It's impossible. That's why we cover that mental health aspect, because it's all in one. So that's a very practical thing that everyone can do. And it's also measurable. And you know, doc, because you're a doc, right. we look at health measures that we can measure. Right. And so you look from zero, rank from zero being no symptom at all to 10 right. being unbelievably can't manage this, rank it. So let's say it's sleep. Again, we cover insomnia in the book. Let's say you're at a 5 out of 10 sleep issues. Well, that's significant, right? Well, look at solutions you could do that you can manage sleep effectively, like diffusing. And again, I would love Mama Z here to share some of our sleep solutions, but start to utilize some of them. And in a couple of weeks later, go back like, okay, where am I right now? 5 out of 10 still? 4? Did I improve? Am I worse? 6? Right. But as you do things, you can actually be more scientific and start to measure and have empirical proof of what's working and what's not. Again, this is real practical stuff that might seem kind of mundane, but this is how you get well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a health journal, start one and then start right. tackling symptom by symptom by symptom. Next thing you know, you could be like David fighting the giants from the Bible. And you're like, I don't care what it is. Come at me. I can overcome any giant now, even cancer. We're not afraid of cancer or diabetes. We're not afraid of obesity. We're not afraid of these things because we know our body will heal itself under the right conditions. So what right. kind of sleep? Because sleep is such an issue for so many people.
Such an issue.
What's our favorite sleep
stuff? You know,
stuff?
I love a detox bath. Mm. Yep. And it's a cup of Epsom salts, a fourth of a cup of Bragg apple cider vinegar, and then in your hand with a carrier oil. You want to use one that stays liquid so it doesn't harden in your pipes like a raw organic coconut oil. So a jojoba oil, an almond oil, but about a tablespoon of that, 1 to 2 drops of lemon essential oil and 6 to 8 drops of lavender essential oil. So it's going to really help the body open itself up with that lavender and then cleanse the body through, especially with those Epsom salts. Mm. But it's not something that you're going to want to do right before you run that 100-mile run, you know? It's definitely an after. Or let's say,
you saw my head. You saw me thinking.
Yeah. So, you know, you want to make sure that if you have even a good massage, that you get that lactic acid out of the body. And just how, you know, we would like to use magnesium in like a calm to kind of help move it out of the inside. You can do that by soaking in it as well. And so that's really, you know, even our handyman has used that over and over again with essential oils and had success. So it's like when you find something that works and you've seen it over time help so many varieties of different people, and especially for those who aren't getting that good sleep at night, because you really need that regenerative sleep. It's so important. And so when you're not getting it, you're not going to be able to tackle the day as well as your body's not going to be able to recover. So when you have a good detox bath prior to going to bed, one of the good things, you know, once you get out of the bath, you know, set your diffuser up. I like to always, just like we don't go to the gym every day and do the exact same thing, we want to switch up the diffuser blends that we use or the things that we use topically on our body. So Most of the standard diffusers take about 6 drops of essential oils. So, you know, we've had a good workout. I like to use a breathing blend or a peppermint for the first 3 drops, and then a lavender for 3 drops, or a chamomile or a sleep blend. And then I vary that. Sometimes it'll be all 6 for lavender. Sometimes it'll be just varied. And when you do that, what you can do is take an unscented or carrier oil or lotion, a healthy organic one, for every 1 ounce of that mixture, you use 6 to 8 drops of essential oils. And when you get out of that bath, I like to use that right on my body topically within the first couple minutes of getting out, so that, you know, you're really, your pores are still open and you're kind of taking that in. And then I like to actually correspond what I'm using in the diffuser and what I'm using on my body. That way it's all working together, and it really helps with the sleep. And you really notice those differences as well.
Yeah. I want to just pause for 1 sec, because I want to make sure everybody, you know, we're talking about essential oils and we're going in. Make sure you go back into some of our older episodes and learn about essential oils, because they're not all created equal.
Yes.
And we've spoken about this in previous episodes. So just make sure you're getting the right stuff when you're going through the book and you're making these sleep blends and you're going through the stuff with chronic disease. I want to make sure you're getting the right things. So definitely go back to one of the older episodes and, or both, listen and learn, and then just tackle the new book. And I think it'll be a big win.
So, yay. And This works good on kids too. If you're not getting sleep because your children are waking up in the middle of the night, you're still not getting good sleep. And, you know, having uninterrupted sleep is really important, or as much as you can at a time. Mm. And so using some of these same tips on your family is also the same way, in having a good bedtime routine. And, you know, my kids, when they are just, they will come down, hey, you did not.
This is what they want.
Do my shoulders. And I have one, please do my shoulders and my feet. One, do my shoulders and my spine. They love the nighttime massage. Do my tummy. Every one of them is different, and they all have their favorites. And it's so it have a good routine with them. And like, if I'm down on the couch and I am tired, they will go up there and get that and come down and go, I'm ready. And then they'll, you know, pull up their, you know, pajama top. Please.
This is a question. You know, I mentioned my wife used rollers with me, and I'm far from any expert in essential oils. I trust both of you. I trust what my wife has learned through your stuff and through others. What's the difference between like rolling on different body parts? Does it make a difference?
Like, I have found it's spine, actually things like that. Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, clinically speaking, I found it's preference. At the end of the day, it's real preference. And they're, you know, think about in terms of skin permeability, think about transdermal medications. People are on pain patches, nicotine patches. So think about where you're putting those and where you're not. There's a reason why the doctor recommends, hey, put this on this part of the body, because certain parts of the body are more permeable than others. From top to bottom, the most permeable, I guess, kind of obvious, intuitive, are the most sensitive. So that would be, you know, like the underarms, that would be the genitalia. Obviously be very careful when using essential oils, highly dilute in those areas. But next, which is a little more, we recommend oftentimes the trunk, you know, the chest, the back of the neck, is very permeable. And that's where we like to use essential oils. And then next thing you know, you have like the abdomen, and, you know, the hands and the arms, that's down the ranks, and the very bottom of the bottom, the least permeable parts of the skin, or the least permeable skin areas of the body, are the legs and the feet. Now, that's not to say you don't ever put essential oils on your feet, especially Mama Z loves her foot rubs. I'll still do that. But again, if you're looking at getting those volatile organic compounds in your bloodstream, which we totally kind of glossed over this, but I'm sure we talked about this in one of the previous episodes, these oils are transdermal. They will penetrate in your bloodstream into your cell. So that's really the key, the secret to plant-based medicine. So yeah, you could massage them in your feet, and some of the chemical compounds, the plant-based chemical compounds, will get in where you want them to. But if you're looking at really nice deep sleep, I would say a chest, put them on your chest, put them in the back of your neck.
Make a pillow spray.
Yeah, a pillow spray, because you want them close as well to where you can inhale them. And that's the other key, because we're stimulating the olfactory system. And there's a whole science to the power of smell. And you know, unlike our previous books, we're really diving deeper. Like this book is, again, why we call it Advanced Strategies and Protocols. Like we've already covered the 101 stuff in previous books and classes. Like this is like, okay, you got the basics. Now let's really take this to another level. And we're letting the research guide. And the more that we learn, the more that we understand, when you smell something, it directly affects your brain without any sort of relay center. And not to get too technical, but you know, when's the last time you've maybe pricked your finger or you cut your hand? There was that slight delay, right? There was that slight delay from when you actually injured yourself to the brain experiencing that impulse to then feeling, ooh, ouch, right?
Right.
There is no delay when you smell. It's actually through the thalamus. There is no thalamic delay. If you want a direct sensory input to the brain, the only way of doing that is through olfaction. That's why, and again, all this fun stuff that the research is sharing, that's why coma patients now, in some of the more progressive hospitals and medical centers, they're using a coma patient's response to smell to determine the likelihood and how quickly they will get out of a coma.
Yeah.
Not pain, not any other sense. Olfaction, the sense of smell, will help directly determine your likelihood and how quick you can get out of a coma. So imagine tapping into that.
Right.
Imagine tapping into that autonomic function that's managed through the limbic system, your mood, your memory, your emotions, your heart rate, your breathing rate. That's through smell. Why are we talking about that? Well, that's aromatherapy. So when you're applying essential oils topically, they penetrate into your bloodstream. You get the benefits systemically, and then you get the benefits through inhalation. Now they go through your respiratory chain, but most importantly is through olfaction. And that's really where we see the brain responding, producing neurotransmitters and hormones in response to the stimuli. Wow. Like, yes, this is what our ancestors have enjoyed since the beginning of time. And they didn't even know it. It was instinctive, very much instinctive. So very long answer to a short, simple question, but that's why we need to dive into this a little bit. And that's why I'm encouraging people to take a little bit of onus to their health. Like, you know, I've been studying this for 18 years now, this natural living lifestyle, and I keep on learning new things. I love it. And I hope to be able to instill that lust for life, that lust for education, that craving to learn more, because ultimately we benefit. And here we are aging younger. You know, think about that. Like, Josh, I look at you. You look better than you did 2 years ago. You do. You're looking appreciate great. It. You're lively. We should be healthier tomorrow than what we were today.
Agreed. Right.
Well, and I remember one of the times we were speaking, and it was really funny because people were like, well, I always use essential oils on the bottom of my feet. And bless Dr. Z's heart, he was like, have you seen some of the bottoms of your feet? Do you think any oils are getting taken in on those feet? Like, your feet after a 100-mile run, you know, your shoes are done after the 100 miles, you know? So imagine having to be able to take in things in those areas. So really focusing on those permeable areas is huge. But he did have that little warning. And I will say, when I have tried to, you know, get the hips and all that stuff ready for a workout, and I've used some of those very menthol-y essential oils, you want to be very careful about going to the potty and other places, because, you know, they roll on the clothes and then you roll them back up. And so you do want to be careful with those areas, especially talking about pain and that kind of stuff, because some of those really menthol-y essential oils are the ones that you're going to turn to. So make sure you properly dilute your essential oils as well. Some people are like, well, that's not going to be as strong. And really, it's actually making your body be able to take them in and process them better and have your body be able to use those as well.
Proper use.
So Dr. Z, I have to ask you one question. I know we hit on, you know, neurodegenerative disease, and this year's been stressful beyond belief for, you know, this whole world. You know, me being in New York City, we live in the town of fear. I mean, that should be the new name of the city at this point. I know in the book we go over chronic disease, and we know that fear can change the physiology of the body and can impact, I say, everything, right? So if you were to give, can you give like maybe a couple simple tips, like, you know, this might be something to try for that person that's living in a city that's, you know, so high strung and they just feel like their health is getting torn apart. Like what can we do?
You know, a study comes to mind, Doc. I guess I'm going to cover I'm going to answer it by talking about hopelessness.
Okay.
I'm going to circle back. Trust me, because fear, again, fear, panic, anxiety. We got a whole list of oils, starting with vetiver, lavender, Roman chamomile, bergamot, neroli, lime. Like, these oils shown to help panic attacks and stress and fear. But ultimately what I found, especially in this situation, is what's happened because of unchecked fear is hopelessness. And I think this is synonymous with overwhelm. And when you feel like you're in a situation where there is no hope, when you're in a situation where you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, that's where fear becomes unchecked. And that's a very dangerous place to be. And essentially, that's where our globe is. That's where people completely surrender their rights and everything just because of the overwhelm, the fear. It's really overwhelm. And why I'm mentioning this is because there was a dramatically profound study that was done a few years ago evaluating people. And bless their hearts. Anyone who has volunteered, by the way, to any research study, bless your hearts for whatever $50 gift card they gave you to put yourself through this stuff. But these people, I think it was several dozen people, put themselves through a hopeless situation. And coincidentally or not, the hopeless task that they were assigned to do was to solve a racial discrimination dilemma. So basically solve systemic racism, right? So they put two groups of people, one group, you solve systemic racism. This group, the other group, you solve systemic racism. One, the control group, had nothing other than their task. The other group, the variable group, the experimental group, had aromatherapy. And the aromatherapy that they utilized was orange and vanilla essential oil. So here they were, exact same task, both hopeless situation. You can never solve it. And they found that the people that were in the aromatherapy group fared much better, even though they didn't, quote, solve it, because again, it's an unsolvable situation. They responded so much better that it didn't cause overwhelm, burnout, depression, and sadness. The other people were like, this sucks. This was horrible. They were in this environmental environment. They're in this sterile clinical setting. It was like everything about it was just miserable. They left the experience with zero markers of anything good whatsoever. And not only were they overwhelmed, burned out, they were just depressed, it was hopeless, but the other people, the key is the enjoyment to the smell caused them see a positive light. Like, what's the difference between those people who see the silver lining in the cloud, right? Instinctively, it's innate for some people. It is their gift. Some people say, other people, I believe it's trained. It's something that you nurture. It's a muscle that you have to exercise. Mm-hmm. But you know how you hack into that? It's proven now. Have an aroma in the air that you enjoy. And that, again, because of the olfactory system stimulating your mood, your memory, your emotions in your brain, that will help you overcome those feelings and that will help you manage that situation better. So this is how we handle fear. This is how we handle overwhelm, by having good positive aroma. And the more, this is the key, the more people enjoyed the smell that was being emitted, the more positive the experience was. So here's the takeaway. Find what works for you. Maybe you love being outside. Maybe you love the smells of cypress and trees. Well, cool. Diffuse that. Maybe you just love roses or you love citrus oils. Well, great. Diffuse that. But whatever you could do, diffuse those smells. And by the way, essential oils, not those chemical aerosols, which do the exact opposite, because those aerosols will trigger anxiety, fear, stress at an inflammatory level. So you find something that you enjoy, and next thing you know, things aren't as overwhelming as they were literally 5 minutes ago. And again, I'm not solving the world's problems here, but what I am solving is your response to the world's problems. And like, wow, you're telling me I could literally change how I react and how I respond to something? Yes. And that's what that study proved.
Well, and to echo that too, we've seen a lot of bad behavior over the last year.
Yeah.
And why don't you be that human diffuser as you go through the grocery store, whether you're following all the rules or not?
Yes. That's a good point.
It's really important. And we know we have to give some people grace, because we've just
put my peppermint on, run through the store.
Yes. some peppermint yeah. and some orange, get people a little happier and then
don't
excited.
Give people a choice.
Yeah.
They'll feel better in spite of themselves. Hey, that's a good point.
Yeah.
This stuff works regardless of how bad your attitude is.
Right.
I mean, if you want to really do, again, just the same thing. If you want to have a physiological response, then you take a medication, it will hack into your body to make something work, regardless of your faith, regardless right. of what you think, regardless of what you believe. It's going to do what it's supposed to do, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing right. with essential oils.
But I will tell you, and it makes a huge difference when we roll yep. up to Carline with the kids and they roll out and they smell good and everything's, they're like, this car smells good. We don't know what you do in here, but we like it. And not every car smells like this car. And I can only imagine, you know, like, yes. You know, even in the locker room, it doesn't always smell like essential oils. So if you can be that positive light and that, then that's that, it's just going to compound on itself.
Yep. Yeah. So here for everybody, get the book, get a diffuser, pick the smells you like. And then pick your pain point, like Dr. Eric said, pick that pain point that you can focus on to start that titration, start that little bit so you can actually start to work your way up the ladder rather than fall down it. Because I think really, truly, how we save this world is we need to save ourselves first. Our health is by far, I mean, obviously the community, but our health, if we don't have our health, we can't do anything. So if we have our health and we have our community, then we can, you know, grow and get healthier as a society. Amen. Win. Start with the book. All right. So I want to thank you guys so much. Where's the best place to get the book?
EOapothecary.com.
Yep. Available everywhere books are sold. We got a sweet little bonus gift package for people. Mama Z and I filmed almost 20 DIY demo videos, how to make a lot of the recipes. And so, EOapothecary.com. And, we love you. Appreciate you. Thanks for having us back on the show.
Oh my God. I feel like we need to do this every week. I love these conversations. They're so much fun. So I thank you so much as well. I know life is busy. I'm sure there's already another book started at this point. Your brains are constantly mm-hmm. going. Stay well, have a blast, and congrats on the new addition to the family.
Awesome. Thank you so much. God bless.
Hey, it's Dr. Josh Hant here, and we need to talk about your health, your fitness, and your lifestyle. I know you, if you're like me, you've seen sickness and disease and even death in your life. And we know the leading causes of death in the United States are cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. Many of these conditions and diseases are considered lifestyle-based. And I know that lifestyles in the United States and other countries are not where they should be. We also know that they make you more vulnerable to other sicknesses and conditions. We tend to get our advice and recommendations on health from commercials and marketing, from fast food to pharmaceuticals, and not from experts with real world experience. Unfortunately, we follow people or products who don't walk the walk or talk the talk. They simply just don't care about your health. It's just about their bottom line. I know we've heard it from our friends and from even our own self-talk that we don't have enough time, we can't make the changes, or there's just too much to do to be healthy. But there is a way to actually take control of your lifestyle and have the accountability and the support you need. We can be bigger than our excuses. For the past 14 years as a chiropractor, I've worked and continue to work with thousands of patients with their lifestyle and ultimately their health. I am now bringing the same philosophy to the online space where we can work as a group to get better, stronger, healthier, and be bigger than our excuses every single day. I've created the 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program to be an online-based, training-based program where you get to learn and be engaged with others in your journey towards a healthy lifestyle and ultimately a healthier life. To be part of this amazing movement, it's just $5 a month. Yes, it's only $5 a month, and that seems too good to be true. Well, it's not. So for the price of a gourmet coffee, you will have access to an amazing program and amazing people that want the best for you too. So when you dive into the content below this video to learn about our lifestyle philosophy, you'll see that we are incredibly unique. No other online program focuses on lifestyle the way we do and delivers the quality and the quantity of content that we do for just $5 a month. And it's not just about the movement. There's a lot more. It's really about your health. So check out the details and other videos below. And when you sign up, I'll even send you the ebook, Inside the Locker, which dives deeper into creating an awesome lifestyle. I look forward to seeing you on the inside of the Lifestyle Locker 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program.